The headlines: Palestinians hold a funeral procession for a teenager killed by Israeli forces near Ramallah and occupied West Bank. The UN Climate Summit COP27 opens in Egypt with calls for action from wealthier nations to address the dire impacts of climate change. And Russian installed officials in Ukraine's Kherson say that a number of settlements in the region have lost water and power supplies following an act of sabotage. Thanks for joining us. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are mourning the latest victim of Israeli gunfire. A 18-year-old Musab Nafa was killed near Ramallah during an overnight Israeli raid. He was one of the two Palestinians shot by Israeli forces. The second person was injured and is now in Israeli custody. Israel has been leading a deadly crackdown in the West Bank recently. So far this year, the violence has killed more than 140 Palestinians. The resistance movement Hamas says Palestinians will never rest until they have taken revenge for the killings. It says the Palestinians' blood will be, quote, a curse that haunts the Israeli occupation across Palestine. The former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan has welcomed the government's offer to launch an investigation into the assassination attempt against them.
I welcome the Judicial Commission as Shehbaz Sharif said it would be formed, but my first point is this. That what will the Judicial Commission do when this investigation will be conducted under the three people I have named? How can we have a fair and transparent investigation?
Khan also says his supporters' long march towards the capital, calling for early elections, will resume on Tuesday. The protest march was disrupted by the Thursday shooting attack, which left Khan injured in the leg. The former prime minister added that he would join the rally in person in 2 weeks' time. Khan has accused incumbent Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, the interior minister, and an intelligence official of involvement in the attack. The government and the military have strongly denied the allegation. Khan was ousted in a no-confidence vote in April. Kiev has accused Moscow of using Iranian-made drones in the war in Ukraine. Iran, however, has rejected the allegation, blaming the West for preventing Ukraine from discussing the issue with Tehran.
We agreed with the foreign minister of Ukraine for them to provide us with any evidence that Russia has been using Iranian drones in Ukraine. We had an agreement with Ukraine 2 weeks ago to be held in a European nation. Our political delegation was sent to the country, but unfortunately in the final moments, the Ukrainian side did not show up. The reason was the United States and some European nations, especially Germany, had told Ukraine you want to drink coffee with the Iranians in a European nation while we're trying to impose sanctions due to drones.
Amir Abdullahian made the comments in an address to reporters in the Iranian capital, Tehran. He rejected claims that Tehran has provided Moscow with missiles in the Ukrainian conflict. Amir Abdullahian, however, said that Tehran has provided Russia with a small number of drones, but months prior to the war in Ukraine. The top diplomat noted that the Islamic Republic will not remain indifferent on the matter if it is proven to Tehran that Russia has used Iranian drones in the Ukraine war. Amir Abdullahian comments drew reaction from Ukraine, with President Volodymyr Zelensky accusing Tehran of lying.
The official Iranian representatives have released a statement today. They have decided to admit that they did supply drones for Russian terror, but they were lying in this recognition as well. We are shooting down at least 10 Iranian drones daily, while the Iranian regime claims that it allegedly provided few of them before the start of the full-scale invasion. Only during one day yesterday, 11 Shaheds were destroyed.
Zelensky accused Iran of teaching the Russian military personnel how to use those drones, adding that Moscow pays Tehran for such cooperation. Ukraine in recent weeks has reported a surge in drone attacks on civilian infrastructure, notably targeting power stations and dams, using Iranian-made drones. This is while Russia denies its forces have used Iranian drones to attack Ukraine. Iran's defense ministry has unveiled the upgraded Bavad 373 long-range missile system and launched Sayad B-4 missile production line, Saman Kujuri reports.
Iran has unveiled the Bavar 373 missile system with a range of over 300 kilometers. Moreover, the Sayad B-4 defense missile production line was also inaugurated on Sunday in a ceremony attended by Iran's defense minister, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Ashtiani. During the test fire, a stationary target was detected at a range of more than 450 kilometers by the optimized radar of the missile system and was tracked at the range of about 405 kilometers and was hit at the range of more than 300 kilometers.
Bavar 373 missile system has successfully hit targets at the range of 305 kilometers. This missile system has been designed to counter long-range targets, ballistic missiles, warplanes, and bombers. Even many technologically advanced countries aspire to have such a high-tech missile system.
The long-range missile has solid fuel and was evaluated during operation for the first time. The detection radar range of the Bavar 373 system has increased from 350 to 450 kilometers, and its engagement radar range has increased from 260 to 400 kilometers.
The missile system has been totally produced and upgraded by Iranian specialists at the Defense Ministry and the Army of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We have been able to upgrade the range of this missile in only 2 years. This shows that we can counter all kinds of threats by using domestically made defensive equipment. As much as the threats advance, the Bavar 373 system and other air defense systems advance ahead of their current threats.
The system's missile range has increased from 200 to 300 kilometers, and its engagement height has increased from 27 to 32 kilometers. In the past couple of years, Iran has reached self-sufficiency in manufacturing different types of missiles to boost its defensive capabilities with the aim of protecting its territorial integrity and national sovereignty. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The UN Climate Summit COP27 opens in Egypt amid growing calls for rich countries to compensate poor nations that are most vulnerable to climate change. Delegates from around 200 countries are participating in the event in Sharm el-Sheikh. This year, the summit will be focusing on four areas of the climate crisis, which are mitigation, adaptation, finance, and collaboration. Last month, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the world is facing a catastrophe after a UN report warned of a global warming of 2.8 degrees Celsius by the end of the 21st century. Campaigners say not enough progress has been made since the COP26 summit in Scotland of last year. That conference resulted in the Glasgow Pact, which committed signatory nations to lower carbon emissions. This year's summit will run through the 18th of November. The UK is bracing for a fresh wave of strikes as nurses vote for the first time or for their first national action over a pay dispute. More than 300,000 members of the Royal College of Nursing have taken part in the strike ballot, the biggest in the union's 106-year history. Reports show an experienced nurse's salary has fallen by 20% in real terms since the year 2010. The RCN says the government is exploiting the goodwill and expertise of nursing staff. The industrial action is set to take place within a few weeks. It is likely to disrupt operations and appointments, even as patients are already facing record waiting lists. However, organizers say the action has the support of patients. The UK is struggling with the cost of living crisis. It has seen a wave of walkouts across various industries in recent months. And staying with the UK, public discontent with the government is lingering. Thousands from across the country descended upon the capital, London, during the weekend to protest against the country's worsening cost of living crisis and to demand a general election. Syed Puriza has been to the protests and sent us this report.
Unaffordable rents, choosing between meals and heating, and tears when the bills arrive. Some of the issues that have drawn thousands from across England to the capital on this rainy day.
Concerned about the future, they're protesting against what they see as years of government inaction has led to a deepening cost of living crisis, a squeeze on people's finances, and pushed public services to the brink.
Organized by the People's Assembly, they've named the demo Britain is Broken, a name that captures the country's multiple crises.
We're going backwards. You know, we've got hungry children. We've got old people living in like freezing cold flats and It's terrible.
I think the reason for the massive inflation is all the money that they printed throughout COVID. $600 billion was printed through COVID, most of which ended up in the hands of rich people.
The government blames the emergency at home on the crises abroad, such as the war in Ukraine and global energy price hikes. The protesters here say it's all the result of more than a decade of conservative rule and that the time for change has come.
I want to see a general election. I don't feel like the Tory party should be able to just put people into power, and especially because they're just keeping, inequality, the hostile environment. They're still putting cuts into our NHS and all our social services. So I just feel they don't really have a democratic mandate to do that. And I think it's important that the country has the right to choose who's in charge, not just the Tory party.
There's no democratic argument, despite the law, to say that we've had three prime ministers in the space of 3 months, in less than a quarter of a year, none of whom can offer any real solution to the problems we've got right now. And there's no excuse for that.
The mass demonstration comes only days after the Bank of England increased interest rates yet again to control double-digit inflation. The new prime minister, Rishi Sunak, is announcing his economic plan later this month, expected to include increased taxes and cuts to public spending, meaning the outlook for ordinary Britons looks gloomier than it is now. Saeed Pereza, London.
Reports coming out of the Russian-held region of Kherson say the strategic Kakhovka Dam has been hit by a Ukrainian military strike. Russian news agencies say that a rocket launched by a U.S.-made HIMARS missile system hit the dam's lock and caused damage. They say six rockets in total were fired towards the dam, but the Russian air defense units repelled the main strikes. The Kakhovka hydroelectric dam was captured by Russian forces in the early days of the war. Meanwhile, Russian-installed authorities in the Volatil area say that a number of settlements, including the city of Kherson, have lost water and power supplies by, quote, an act of sabotage. Three power lines in the region were damaged in the attack. Kherson officials are blaming Ukraine for the assault. There's been no response from Kiev so far. Our Ukraine correspondent Johnny Miller joined us earlier for more about the latest developments in the region of Kherson.
Well, there's been a major offensive that's been warned about for weeks now by Ukraine on the city of Kherson. Of course, Kherson, a vitally strategic city, it's the capital of the Kherson region, one of the four regions that Russia has taken over. One of the main reasons Russia has taken over the Kherson region and the Zaporizhia region is to safeguard Crimea. Of course, Crimea, vitally important to Russian interests. I've seen many videos over recent weeks of Ukraine launching small attacks on Kherson, those being repulsed by Russia. But there has been huge warnings of a major, major attack on Kherson. There's conflicting reports about whether Russia will be able to hold on to Kherson. I spoke to a journalist recently who just returned. He said there's no way Ukraine will take Kherson. Russia is turning it into a fortress. Although I have heard some other reports that Russia is already planning to withdraw from the city. Interestingly, the Russian flag was taken down off the main administration center a few days ago. Other Russian flags stayed in place. And Ukraine also put out a statement saying that they think that Russia is trying to lure them into a trap in Kherson. So we'll have to wait and see whether this expected offensive is going to happen on Kherson.
U.S. President Joe Biden and his predecessors, Democrat Barack Obama and Republican Donald Trump, are sounding the alarm over threats to American democracy as the countdown starts to the congressional midterm elections. Three men converged on Pennsylvania Saturday to push their parties to the finishing line. Biden said the race marks a defining moment for U.S. democracy. Obama echoed Biden's warning, saying the stakes are high as democracy is on the ballot. At the same time, Obama attacked Republicans for becoming increasingly averse to everything from science to respect for rules. And Trump blamed Biden for turning the country into a police state. Americans will be going to the polls on Tuesday to decide who will control Congress during the final 2 years of Biden's first term. This is a vast majority of the American people fear that the country will go through a period of political violence.
Shortly before their midterm legislative elections, a stunning new poll shows that 9 out of 10 Americans are afraid of politically motivated violence. The blame is apportioned in almost equal thirds. Democrats blame Republicans, Republican respondents hold Democrats responsible, and another third says both parties are equally responsible.
Neither party is actually putting forward any platform for actual unity across race, gender, class, et cetera, religion. And, you know, it's a necessary outcome of just the decades of politicization and really the political moment that we're in right now where, you know, there's a fascist movement in this country.
There have been 10 times the number of threats against members of Congress than there were just 5 years ago. The arrival of the corrosive Donald Trump and the seemingly equally corrosive repression of his supporters has revealed a national political culture plagued by self-righteousness, anger, and violence. An extensive recent survey found that nearly a third of Americans believe that political violence is usually or always justified.
So I think the violence already is happening. I think it's the question of, you know, as we get closer to 2024, that violence is going to get turned up a dial. So I think it's really, it's sad, unfortunate, it's terrible, but I think it's a consequence of, you know, what the ruling class has actually, you know, fomented.
The poll was taken shortly after the in-home attack on the husband of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Many are shocked that the nation's vast and armed-to-the-teeth security services couldn't adequately protect the home of the nation's number three post. The incident continues to be the subject of salacious allegations, which have been exacerbated by the Pelosi's refusal to release their home security footage, as well as the refusal of local police to release their own body camera footage. The suppression of news reports on the incident has further inflamed public opinion. Polls repeatedly show that Nancy Pelosi has the lowest approval ratings of any prominent member of Congress. The Pelosis have been recently accused of insider trading, and the extremely wealthy family is often criticized for flaunting their affluence. Rami Mazahari, Chicago.
And that is for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners of Listeners Special, and welcome to this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022, with me, Atefe Erfani. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views is presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. For your information, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. So please send us these reception reports, because these reception reports heighten the quality of our programs. And here we do send our warm and great appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Matej Kurpel from India, Krister Brandstorm from Sweden, and Eddie Vitanto from the Philippines. Thank you for your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And here we do send our warm gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Mohammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Avinash Premarch from India has sent us a piece of email. And here we've received an email from Bangladesh from MD Abdul Mutin. And Arild Skalmras from Norway has sent us an email. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. Thank you very much for being with us. Mohammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Such a long email. Let's see what Mohammad says. Iran is a very normal country with lots of tourist attractions. However, the mainstream media has portrayed Iran in a very negative way due to the Zionist political agenda. Iran is the second largest nation by land size in West Asia. As you might imagine, it is a nation of diverse ethnicity, which are often negatively portrayed by the media. Iran has unique ancient historical sites, with one of the world's oldest civilizations dating back to early Bronze Age, 7000 BC. Iran is the center of civilization, with the existence of various ethnic groups, alongside the rich culture, which has made Iranian cuisine the best, with delicious desserts such as halva and sohan. Iran has one of the lowest cost of tourism and most affordable tourist destination, according to World Economic Forum, WEF. Iran ranks first in hospitality. Iran also offers best physicians with inexpensive surgeries and dental services. Iran is also the country of the greatest poets like Ferdowsi, Nizami, Rumi, Saadi, and Hafiz. You will find the mausoleums and books everywhere, while our guides were fluent in the poetry of these poets, and occasionally they would recite and translate to us. We visited five cities from Mashhad to Isfahan, and saw streets full of happy and joyful people.
We saw thousands of tourists shopping in the bazaars and malls. Iran has a traffic problem, but good public transport of railways and subways. We also saw many business women owning hotels, guest houses, and restaurants. We saw women at hotels working as receptionists at museums, at airports, and driving at high speed in Tehran. Talking to few academicians, women are highly educated. Iran has some of the best universities in the world. It's only through seeing Iran, through my own eyes, that I know the stereotypes are not true. Traveling to Iran, I saw some of the richest architecture and oldest culture anywhere in the world. Wow, such a great thing. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Mohammad Khaku from the US. And please accept our warm appreciations to you for sending us this email. It was long, but it was very informative for those of our listeners who haven't traveled to Iran and just heard about Iran through the media, which is dominated by Zionists and the Western regimes. As you said, Iran is a vast, beautiful country, rich in natural resources, human resources, young generation, working, located in a strategic area in the heartland in West Asia region. And as you may know, before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, this country was invaded by barbaric regimes many times, especially Western regimes. But fortunately, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, when this country got free and independent and the hands of Western regimes were curtailed, so these regimes got angry and outrageous, especially after they see great achievements in Iran in different fields, including technological, military, scientific fields, and the progress of Iranian women after the Islamic Revolution in 1979. So the Western regimes got angry and they tried to portray Iran in a negative way days and nights in their media. So, much to the chagrin of these Western regimes, Iran is going to get more powerful, stronger in many fields so rapidly. Anyway, Mohammad Khaku from the U.S., many thanks for reflecting your thoughtful views and great views about Iran and political issues. It was great. It's an honor to have you with us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. And from India, we've received an email from Avinash Primarj. I wish I'm pronouncing your name, Avinash. So Avinash says, warm greetings from India. I am pleased to report the reception of your English transmissions of Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwave. I am working in UAE and I will be shortly at my home in India for a vacation. I hope that you'd find this report of some use. If found correct, kindly verify these with your QSL card or an EQSL. Please send the QSL to my address in India, as I will be in India for the next 2 months or so. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And many thanks for sending this email to us. It's good, you be in your country again in India. It's great. A good voyage. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Avinash, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And let's see, yes, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from Andy Abdul-Mateen. Let's see what he says. I am a new listener of IRIB English Service. Your programs are very informative, and I really enjoy listening to them. I have a request, and that is you kindly send me an edition of Holy Quran, if possible. MD Abdul-Mateen from Bangladesh, salam, and warm greetings to you. Thank you very much for sending this message to us. We are so happy to have received you, and we are so happy that the signals of our radio are received in your country, in Bangladesh. So let this mutual relationship continue with you and us, IRIB English Radio. And you in Bangladesh, it's an honor to have you with us. But regarding your request about sending an edition of the Noble Quran, I'm afraid sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners around the world is not possible in the time of pandemic. After the pandemic, I mean, after this disease is controlled around the world, then we can send you the materials, including an edition of the Noble Quran to you, MD Abdul-Mateen from Bangladesh. Anyway, thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite radio, IRIB English Radio. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. Wish you all the best. And the last but not the least is an email from Arild Skalmeras from Norway. Arild says, I am an avid radio enthusiast, enjoying both listening to and catching the signals of radio stations from other parts of the world on medium and shortwave. I can receive the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on several frequencies on shortwave. I have been listening to foreign radio stations on short and medium wave for many years. Nowadays, I can, of course, listen to many radio stations from around the world on internet with excellent quality, but I still enjoy listening to short and medium wave radio. Thanks for your consideration, and I look forward to hearing from you again. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Arild Skalmeras from Norway, and please accept our gratitude to you for this email. So, you have been listening to foreign radio stations on short wave and medium waves, which is very interesting. I do agree with you. I mean, the traditional way of listening to radio, which most people like, and good to listen that you have several frequencies on short wave. So, Arild Skalmeras from Norway, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you and listening to your views about IRIB English Radio programs, and please accept our EQSL as verification. And before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of our great listeners who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Eddie Witanto from the Philippines, Matej Kurpel from India, Krister Brandstorm from Sweden, MD Abdul-Mateen from Bangladesh, Muhammad Khaku from the US, Avinash Primraj from India, and Arild Skalmeras from Norway. Please be in touch with us, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been an ongoing topic. And I want to initially now discuss a process called tafheem. Again, I go back to the book of Adab al-Salat of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, a beautiful, beautiful text. the etiquettes of Salat, over 60 chapters, 60 durus on namaz. As I mentioned now before, the first half of the book is the adab of the qalb, the etiquette of the heart. Before he even talks about salat in terms of qibla and makan and libas and qiyam and adhan, he has 17 different discussions on the heart. You have to get the internal kingdom ready in order to benefit from salat properly. One discussion in that book is called tafheem. Tafheem means incorporation. And let me do my best to explain this concept. Now he talks about the idea that the heart of ours is initially an infant child. The example I give sometimes, you know, I see these fathers, I'm sure our mothers out there are, you know, right now with their small children. And initially when the child is now developing their vocabulary, you teach them words. Teach them Baba and Mama and Dudu and Allah Ek and all these things that you teach them. It's not that you say it once and they repeat right after. No. Sometimes multiple times a day. Bolo Mama. Bolo Mama. Bolo Baba. Mekon hoon Baba. Mekon hoon Baba. Who am I Baba? Who am I Baba? Ye kya hai? What is this doing? What is this one? Over and over and over again. He's looking at you like, what are you talking about right now? What are you saying right now? But you keep at it. You keep at it. You keep at it. You keep repeating yourself and repeating yourself and repeating yourself until one day he says without you even saying a word, Baba. You're like, oh, he said Baba. That's called tafheem, incorporation. Through repetition, things incorporate into the existence of the human being. Follow the example. A lot of my youth ask me, oh man, the deen is so repetitive. I said, bhai, oh my God, repetitive, repetitive. Salat even, 95% is not in our control. The ruku is already said, sujood is already said. Even the first surah is not in our control. Why so much repetition? Tuesday is tawassul, Thursday kumail, Friday nudba, all these things. We know, okay, to the point where it's memorized. There's immense wisdom behind that. I've given the example before. This is such an important discussion. I cannot stress enough how important this discussion is. I don't want any of my young guys out there to accept this idea. Doesn't matter how I look on the outside, how I dress on the outside, what I say, what I listen to, what I eat, what I drink, has no bearing on my spirituality. It absolutely does. And I'm coming. I have lots to say tonight. And I have a lot of that energy, alhamdulillah, right now. So given the example of the Baba, Baba, Dudu, Mama example, come to Imam Khomeini. He says, the heart is just like that child. The heart. He said, if the body has a tongue and eyes and ears, the heart also has a tongue, eyes and ears. And initially now, it's the physical tongue and the physical eyes and the physical ears that work, and they slowly but surely now incorporate the tongue and the eyes and the ears of the hearts through repetition. This is tafheem, incorporation. Exactly what Imam Khomeini says, the body does to the heart. The body says, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Says, Maliki Yawmiddin. Says, Iyaka na'abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And tells the heart, Bolo, Maliki Yawmiddin. Bolo, Maliki Yawmiddin. Say, Allah, Hu Akbar. Say this, say that, over and over and over again, until that newborn heart now, one day itself, says to the tongue, Maliki Yawmiddin. We train the eyes now not to look at everything. You're very, very careful. Sometimes I tell you, as men, we don't understand the power of our eyes. I wish we did. I talk about hijab, and right away you think, okay, the hijab is for people on that side of the building. It's not. I wish if we could fix our hijab as men, that hijab will also be fixed. There are still some men who continue to make women feel completely uncomfortable. Make all sorts of disrespectful remarks. Talk about their outfit. talk about how they are, get, you know, personal space, all sorts of stuff, either in the parking lot or in certain gatherings, blah, blah, blah. There's a reason why our hijab is the eyes. Lowering your gaze is not the idea of just walk around glued to the carpet. You have to make sure that you make the person in front of you feel comfortable. Don't make them feel awkward with your glances and your smirks and your flirtatious kind of energy. But still, we continue to do it. And all this talk about her wearing sleeves and wearing socks and make sure not one hair and this pin and that pin, let's leave that hijab alone. Let's make sure our eyes are accurate. We continue to make our sisters feel uncomfortable. The eyes are huge. They actually train the eyes of the heart. The tongue is very important. The physical tongue is very important. 30 different sins with this one tongue of ours. Hadith says certain people will be dragged in the hellfire with their tongue. جِرْمُهُ صَغِيرُ جُرْمُهُ ثَقِيلُ Imam Ali says. Allahu Akbar. The lisan, the tongue, its jirm is small. Its mass, physical mass, is small. How big is your tongue? Don't measure it. Just no, it can't be that big. This big. Its jurm, its crime, is thaqeel. It's heavy. The wounds of the tongue sometimes never heal. Physical scars come and go. God knows I scraped my knees when I was younger. So many times. Now I can't find them. They heal, they scab, they're gone. But sometimes the things that have been said to me 20, 30 years ago echo in my heart and mind still up until today. So ears, eyes, tongue, these are training agents to this newfound heart inside of us. This new blood now that's entered our system. So repeat this, repeat this, repeat this. 34 times this, 33 times this, 70 times this, 7 times this, 10 times this. Over and over and over again. And we think, oh, God likes this idea of repetition. No, there's a process happening here. And now once the heart is ready, once the physical tongue trains the internal tongue, the eyes train the internal eyes, the ears train the internal ears, that's when the physical tongue, the physical eyes, the physical ears take a back seat. Now you tell me when to speak. Allahu Akbar. You tell me where to look. You tell me what to listen to. That's a mu'min. And when you reach a level now where you are completely in tune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's no longer your tongue, it's the tongue of Allah. It's not your eyes, it's the eyes of Allah. It's not your ears, it's the ears of Allah. Meaning what? Everything you say, you look at, you hear, you speak, is God, is God, is God. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala. He says, I have not seen a single shay, ma ra'aytu shay'an. I have not seen anything illa, except that I saw Allah ma'ahu qabluhu wa fihi. With it, before it, and in it. That's hard to do. So now when you hear these fadaili points sometimes from the member that drive the Wahhabis crazy, that Imam Ali is aynullah, lisanullah, wajhullah, yadullah, this is not shirk. This is a man now who's reached a level where even when he extends his hand, it's for God. When he speaks, it's for God. When he sees, it's for God. Meaning God, it's almost as if God says, look, Ali, it's okay, let me take over. When you look, it's like me looking. It only happens when there is a deep-rooted level of tafheem happening from the body to the spirit. So yeah, it's okay. At 15, 16, you won't understand what Subhana Rabbil A'la wa bihamdi might mean. But somebody asked Ayatollah Bahjat, one of the biggest urafa of our time, that between these two realities, it's time for Salat, but my heart isn't into Salat at that moment. I feel sust, I feel tired, a little bit lazy. I know in about an hour, I'll feel better and I'll really be into my Salat. Should I wait a little bit? Knowing full well that Salat won't be the best. But in an hour, I'll really be Allahu Akbar. What should I do? Delay that Salat, knowing full it'll be more bahuzuri qalb? Or should I do it right now, knowing full well that it's going to be in a state of susti and laziness? He says, pray on time. Pray on time. Because eventually now, it's all a training ground, a training ground, a training ground. Eventually, what was an hour from now will become a bilawaqt. Don't underestimate the power of this training ground.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Faith through action. Sunday, the 5th of Ramadan, 1394, the 22nd of September, 1974. Those who hear the Quran's words, do not weaken or grieve. You shall have the upper hand should you be faithful. Those who hear this amazing reassurance from the Qur'an only to see that when they look at reality, those who believe in the Qur'an are no better than anyone else. In fact, they see that they are dependent on everyone else. They are going to wonder what happened to the Qur'an's promise. And if they do not find any time when this promise was fulfilled, they are going to await the appearance of the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu farajah. They will convince themselves that yes, this promise is true. It will come to pass when the Mahdi appears and everywhere that faith takes root. However, the faith the Quran is speaking about is a faith that is never separated from duty, because according to the Quran, faith is more than something in one's heart. If assenting to or accepting some beliefs was enough to have this thing we call faith, then I tell you that the first believer in the Prophet was Abu Lahab or Walid ibn Mughira. They were men of intelligence. They knew full well that the Prophet was not lying. They knew he was telling the truth. Do you want proof of this fact? The proof is that they would sit together and plot how to defame the Prophet. They said, "Let's go and listen, see what he says, then point out its flaws." Then once they had gone and listened, they sat together the next night and said, "No, this is not the words of a human being. These are the words of God." So they accepted this fact. They accepted that these words were not emanating from the Prophet, but from God. However, even 14 centuries after this fact, we still don't accept Abu Lahab as a believer. He was not a believer because his belief did not lead him to feel any sense of duty.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
So what do you say? If it was enough to know what was true on a theoretical level and to have belief in one's heart, then Amr bin As should be the first Shia in the world. The same Amr bin As who either witnessed the events of Ghadir with his own eyes or heard about it from those who had. You and I can only read about that event in books some 13 centuries later. The same Amr bin As even composed verses of poetry in praise of Ali. Amr bin As, who, on his deathbed, at that sensitive moment of a person's life, expressed regret and showed remorse, who said that he had sold his religion for the worldly promises of Muawiyah and fought Ali, even though he knew Ali was right. So, from where I'm sitting, Amr's faith was deeper and more insightful than the Shia of the 14th century, who find out about the imamate of the commander of the faithful and believe in it.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.